Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters have to do with our relationship with Christ and who we are in Him. The last three chapters are about our behavior as a Christian. When we grow more in our relationship with Christ, we start to live a life that is changed from the inside out. So join Joyce on this journey of learning to love God deeper and seeking His will for your life. Living a life with Christ is a lifelong journey, and God has given us the perfect manual to get to know Him. Be sure to check out more Bible study resources and downloads at joycemeyer.org/study. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching out of Ephesians.
Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden Him by whom you were sealed, marked, and branded as God's own and secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. Now, I shared with the people here last night because it's such an important point. I'm going to take a moment to share it here again. This sealing of the Holy Spirit, this being marked and branded, has a real significance that we may not fully understand. Just like I would talk to you today based on the culture that we live in, Paul talked to the people in his day based on the culture that he lived in. And so many of the examples that he uses, we don't fully maybe grasp them to the fullest that we should because we don't always understand the historical background. But this is such an important thing that I want to unfold it for you a little bit. Ephesus and Corinth were both lumber towns. They had a lot of people in those towns. They had businesses in those towns that dealt with the lumber industry. And so it was a big business for them. And they were on the Black Sea, and so logs would be cut down in places where there were forests and things like that, and they would be floated down the Black Sea, and then they would be held in the harbors at Corinth or Ephesus. And then people from these different companies, representatives would be sent out from the companies to go and pick out the logs that they wanted. Now, I know you weren't all here last night, but in Ephesians, over in the first, I think it's chapter 2, says that we were chosen and picked out by God. You didn't just get pushed off on God. It's not like you were His last person that He could have a relationship with. He actually looked at you and picked you out for Himself to be His own in Christ. Everybody say, I'm picked by God. Yeah. You know, the world has picked on you, but God has picked you to pick you up and to make your life better. And so just like those logs were picked, Jesus has picked us. But He's not here to take us home to be with Him yet. We got to be here in the world for a while. And so the next thing that happened to those logs was when the people who worked for the companies, the representatives, came, they put a mark on the logs that they wanted. Each company had their own mark, and they would put a mark on the logs that were going to be theirs, and they made a down payment on those logs. And then sometimes they would be held in the harbor for months and months and months, but nobody touched them, nobody harmed them, nobody stole them, nobody bothered them, because they were marked and branded and sealed by the person who owned them. Well, this scripture says that we are marked and branded and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? He chose us and picked us out while we were floating along in the river of life. And now we're being held in reserve, marked and branded by the Holy Spirit, waiting for that final day when He comes back and claims us as His own. I want you to feel safe. God wants us to feel safe. He wants us to feel protected, to know that He's going to watch over us. And all any of us need to do to put all of these promises into action is to believe them. Just believe them. Everybody say, I'm marked and branded by the Holy Spirit. So He says, don't grieve the Spirit of God. Now, verse 31 and 32 goes back to the mouth again. And anger. And a few other things. So we're just going to read through this real quick. If you need any part of it, you can just take it, and then we'll go on by and go do something that maybe you will need if you don't need this. I'm joking. We all need this. You're supposed to laugh at my jokes. It makes me feel better. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, anger, animosity, quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention. Anybody found anything on the list yet that suits you? Slander. That means talking bad about other people. Evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language, let it be banished from you. Get it as far away from you as you can possibly get it away from you. With all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind, and instead become useful and helpful and kind to one another. Tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another. You know, women want to be understood especially. And let me tell you something, men. The best thing that you can do when your wife is having a hormone fit is to just say, honey, I understand. Now, you don't understand, you will never understand, but somehow it makes us feel better if you say, I understand. You don't want to look at a woman who has got every hormone going in a different direction and say, what is the matter with you? Those are two very powerful words. I understand. I remember when I used to be like that and Dave would give me logic. There is nothing that an emotional woman hates worse than male logic. So please don't give it to us. Amen? Just say, I understand, honey. I understand. I know you had a rough day. I understand. Come and get a hug. Just a little free advice for the men there. Now, I want to say something to you before I go on to chapter 5. It's easy to hear teaching that is easy to hear. But in order to receive teaching like I'm doing here tonight and going to do again tomorrow, you have to know who you are in Christ. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, it will make you feel condemned. And I have no interest in sending all of you out of here feeling guilty because you've located about 25 behaviors that need to change. I so much remember when I first started sitting under the teaching of the Word, and I can remember sitting in church services like you're sitting in tonight, and when somebody would teach on something that confronted my behavior, I would always just go home condemned because I did not know who I was in Christ. I didn't understand chapters 1, 2, and 3 yet. So it was hard for me to hear chapter 4, 5, and 6. Are you with me? And if you don't know who you are in Christ, if you don't know that you've been made right with God through the blood of Jesus, then every time that God tries to convict you, the devil will take it and turn it into condemnation. Every time anybody tries to correct you, it's going to turn into you trying to defend yourself and condemnation. Only a fool hates correction. And the Word of God is going to bring correction to a lot of our lives as we continue on tonight and tomorrow. And don't you stay home tomorrow just because I told you that. Because that is the silliest thing that you can do. Don't avoid something that you're going to have to go through anyway later on. And so I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 5 for just a minute so I can show you something important before we move on. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need somebody to teach you over again the very first principles of God's Word. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced in the doctrine of righteousness. I love that. He's saying, if the only kind of word that we can hear is stuff that pats us on the head and makes us feel great about ourselves, anybody can hear a message on forgiveness. Anybody can hear a message on God's mercy, on God's grace. Anybody can hear a message about how much God loves you. And I'm not downplaying that. I teach on that all the time, and it is some of the most powerful things that we can teach. But you can't just have that. You got to have the other side of it too. We need the whole counsel of the Word of God. And let me say again, when you know who you are in Christ, being corrected by the Holy Spirit is something you appreciate. It's not something that makes you feel bad about yourself. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit corrects me on a regular basis about different things here and there. And I have learned finally to say, thank you that you love me enough that you will not leave me in the mess that I'm in, but you will keep working with me until Jesus comes back. Amen. Now, chapter 5. Just before I get into it, I want to read a couple of scriptures to you. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Okay, and I want you to listen to this because we're living in these times right now. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate and endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another, to a considerable number chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors that they hold. Isn't that pretty amazing? You know, if you don't like what I'm saying on TV, you can flip the channel and find somebody that you like what they're saying. That's not hard to do. But don't ever not listen to somebody because what they say to you kind of makes you a little bit uncomfortable in your seat. In 2 Timothy 4, 2, Paul told Timothy, herald and preach the word, keep your sense of urgency, stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. Now listen to this. You as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking, correcting, warning, urging, and encouraging them. Not just encouraging them, but all of it. And can I tell you, the ministers that you have who really love you will take a chance on you getting aggravated at them if that's what it takes to get the truth through to you that will make the changes in your life that you need that are going to bring you the things you say that you want. And I feel so strongly about that. It's not my job to make sure you don't get mad at me. It's my job to make sure when I stand before God that I've done what He wanted me to do. And that's your job too. Amen? So, having said that, let us press on. In Ephesians 5, the first 9 verses talk about pursuing clean living. Pursue means to crave and to go after with all of your strength. If you want to be an excellent person, you're going to have to really want it bad because we live in a very mediocre world.
Thanks for listening. Grow deeper in your knowledge of the Word with today's offer, the Ephesians Action Plan. The Action Plan includes CDs, DVDs, and a personal study guide, or you can download it for a donation of $35 or more in U.S. funds, and we do accept all major credit cards. You can order today's offer from our website at joycemeyer.org, or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-789-0089. Again, the number is 1-800-789-0089.
If I were to ask you if you love your life, what would your answer be? I believe that Jesus wants us to love our lives. But if you don't like what you've got, continuing to do the same thing is not going to give you a different outcome. And I want to encourage you today to get my new book called Living a Life That You Love and see what the changes are that you can make that will start to give you wonderful results in your life. Why not get your copy today?
Thanks again for listening to Enjoying Everyday Life. Our mission here at Joyce Meyer Ministries is simple: sharing Christ and loving people. Remember, together we can do more.